Is your business plan very unclear and you're tirelessly working at a low-paying career? Let's help you get out of the rut and let go of the fear. It's time to excel into the million-dollar stratosphere. Now, here's your host of The Balanced Millionaire, who will take you there, Eileen Mendel.
Hello, everyone. I'm Eileen Mendel, the host of today's show, The Balanced Millionaire, and we're doing something a little different today. We are broadcasting live, and I have with me two very interesting guests tonight. I have Don Newsom and Doug Newsom, who are co-owners of BBS Radio, which is the studio from which the show is being broadcast. And they have an interesting story because they were involved in the fire in November in Paradise, California. And that is one of the largest fires ever in the history of California. And a whole town was destroyed. And they can tell you a bit more. I don't want to spoil it. But Don is with me for the first half of the show, and then we'll have Doug come on for the second half. Hi, Don. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello to you and to your audience. Thank you, Eileen. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, Don. So, Don, before the fires, tell us a little bit about the history of your work on your business, your show, what you were thinking at the time, you know, how things were going and what was going on at that time.
Well, before the fires, we had all our ducks in a row. We had all of our T's crossed and our I's dotted. We had all our government paperwork done. We were finishing off with the Department of Defense, which was a critical part, last step in all of this, so that they can secure up your computers and servers, check out and identify, you know, not just who you are, but everything. I mean, it's quite an ordeal. But we finished it all, and we had also had a 39-page contract with iHeart, and we were going to stream live through them, not just podcast through them, which we're doing now. We had all of our insurances covered and paid for, all of the royalty boards covered, signed agreements. We were at a high. Our statistics were unbelievable, the best ever seen in talk radio or any kind of a radio, whether it be music or otherwise. Why? Well, we had an average of per listening IP address. That means any IP address that clicks into any stream we can monitor. The average one out of all those random clicks, each and every one of them, will stay an average of 37.5 minutes. Now, that's just unheard of. That's insane. The best radio station we could find that compares to us would be in the 8-minute range. And then they all go to 3 minutes and under. So, and then the when people visited our site, they were visiting, 30-odd pages or more per visitor. So, and the average visitor stayed on our website for 35 and a half minutes. That means all the random tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people that would click to our website, just the random people, all of them, every single one of them, if you averaged it out, would be on our website for an average of 35 and a half minutes. That's unheard of. Our bounce rate was so low because, you know, when people got to our website, they got where they wanted to go. They weren't, you know, they didn't hit a millionaire page or be bounced back or come to bad links. So our website was, I mean, we combed it. We had it managed in so many ways. Our redundancy and our low-level latency on our audio and everything else was, I mean, immaculate. We were ready to go for some large, large contracts and have fun doing it. And we were ready to start stepping out into the multi-platform advertising arenas, which many of you know about. And then the fire hit. It's reminiscent of my days back in Canada, and I don't want to go into it, but, you know, it was a week prior to a financing when we were young, my brother and I. We had arranged, it was millions, but that money was to cross into a brokerage, from a brokerage account into our corporate account, funding, through a funding, and it was a major funding, and then a week prior, the whole thing was shut down, halted, and investigated, and I don't want to go into it. But it feels kind of reminiscent of that, where you lose everything.
So not only did you lose, I mean, you lost your home, you lost your business, you lost your collectibles, you nearly lost your lives, but what kind of emotions and thoughts? I mean, you were at a turning point in your life where you were going to go big time.
Too busy to think about it now. Once the fire hit, my brother and I were just, we were in a different mode. You know, we've seen crisis so often in our life. We adapt as fast as we can to it because, you know, there's only two thoughts in our minds. And in most corporate minds that own their own business, you either, when times are tough, you either expand or fold. Okay? So
yes.
When you, and we've always, you know, our cup's always half full or it runneth over. We're going to be expanders. So if times get tough, we're going to be the ones stepping out into the arena, doubling up. Right? And we work very hard. So that, and when this happened, you know, we've been through some serious tragedies in our lives. You know, we, Doug and I, worked together as fast as possible. And, you know, we had such a wonderful, wonderful, giving, caring, and sharing audience of listeners. So loyal, in fact. And with our hosts, you know, when we asked for money, they stepped right up to the plate and said, "Here you go." And a week later, we asked for a little bit more, and they stepped. I mean, we asked for a little bit more, and a week later, they said, "Here you go. Here's the rest." And what people don't realize is, you know, we had a GoFundMe account for about $25,000, and they met that. But we also had a PayPal donation account, and they doubled the GoFundMe account with the donation. So you had almost $50,000. Because it was double, because it was just about the same amount in both. And then you had from other, relatives and so on, another 10. So it pretty much brought us in 60 grand, which allowed us to totally refit our studio. You know, we needed about 68,000 bucks. And Doug and I went into hawk a little bit, but even with, I mean, so little, because we thought we were going to have to go in, and we didn't know how we were going to do it. Trust me, folks, it was going to be weird. But, you know, here we are in business 30 days later, and, you know, the loyal people and wonderful audience just stepped up to the plate and made it happen. I mean, that's just, what can you say to that? I mean, That has been weighing on my mind more than most things. I mean, how do you give back? What's the best response to be able to give back in your life for such blessings? And so Doug and I think about that often. That's really what it comes down to. How, you know, we've got back to where we need to be. How do we make that possible for others, knowing that we've been given that blessing? It's, you know, that's a profound discussion for us.
Well, it is. I mean, philosophically, you can, you know, say that you could pay it forward, or philosophically, you could say that you are going to meet the expectations of your audience and your clientele and do something even bigger than you had planned to begin with before the fire. And it seems like you guys are already on track to do something even bigger. Can you comment on that?
paraphrase that question one more time.
Well, it sounds to me like, you know, you said, how do you pay back those loyal clients and customers? I mean, philosophically, you know, you can be grateful to them and you can thank them.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
you can
the
do
whole,
things like that.
Rob, isn't it? Not Rob, poor choice for it. That's the whole, let's say, conundrum. How do you do it, right? I don't know. That's again, it's a debate for my brother and I. But the one thing's for sure, we're going to want to, and we're going to do some sort of a program that we can give back and help others in a similar position. Because we've experienced it, again, numerous times, and we've had such loving people around us in our during our lives that we've always been able to succeed in our dreams, and that's solely due to the loving blessings and kindness and generosity of others. But it's happened enough times with us to be able to, in different ways. This is the first time we've actually asked for money. We were usually the payers prior to that, but different blessings in different ways. And, you know, if we could step into a situation, maybe a charity, starting our own charity or a foundation like many have been known to do, and giving and promoting that foundation in a way that it gives 100% of its proceeds back to, you know, help those people that it's designed to help. That, to me, would be a score. Or, of course, there might be payment of some administrative staff, but, you know, you end up building some sort of a structure that allows you to give that money back in a way that you can monitor and feel good about, right?
Exactly. So tell me a little bit more about the loss of, in your personal life, the loss of your home, and what actually came about. I know that you had originally, when you left it, you left at the spur of the moment. It was hard to grab what you could. You just wanted to get out alive. You know, what's changed now in terms of your life, your personal life, your feeling of security, even in, you know, settling down? I mean, you know, you know you can't go back because it's the pollution, you know, the destruction that happened. So what's going on there?
Well, to be quite honest, it's, you know, we right now we're taking it a little more, let's say, week by week instead of day by day. We're right now in a good place. Everything is back up and running. Doug and I are back at work full time. We have all of our paperwork now ready and finished and back with the government people we're working with. We still have to finalize the DOD, the Department of Defense, and there's a little bit of, you know, delay there only because we lost so much information during the fire, but we're sorting that out now. So I would say we're within 6 months of being back where we were, maybe three. Cut that in half if we're lucky and things are just clicking. But yeah, I would almost have to say give us a few months to 6 months, we'll be back where we were. As far as statistically speaking, how are we going to rival where we were? Gosh, I don't know. You know, that's a toughie. We were at the pinnacle. We were shining, and when I look at the stats, they're not what they were. And I don't want to go into that. But it is upsetting to my brother and I. It you know, because of certain, you know, because we don't have transmission lines in the building, and because there's delays in installing them, and because none of the other programs, sophisticated business programs, worked in the area, it's deadly for a broadcast station. It's deadly. I mean, you know, it could put the normal broadcaster out of business. Doug and I are, we're on the ball and trying to meet those issues head on. But they're difficult ones for broadcasters. This is the toughest thing we've had to go through. It's really a matter of quality. And Doug and I, it's going to take, again, 3 months to minimum to get the streaming quality that we had before. And we can get the audio quality. We can't get the streaming quality. So there's two different parts to this. There's a lot more, but those are the main two. Recording the audio and all the quality comes in from all the different lines and all the different electronic lines, digital or analog, and recording that. That's all great and gravy, but streaming that out in the same quality, we can do that as well. It seems that, living in this very ritzy part of San Francisco, a suburb, they don't even have the ability that we had in Paradise, and it's harder to get, it's more expensive, and they have nothing greater as far as ability than we had in Paradise in Northern California. That's a little bewildering to my brother and I. You'd think they'd have it all. You'd think they could run fiber optic right up to the building. No problem.
Yeah, you think so.
Sure.
Yeah.
It wouldn't matter. It's not the cost that we're worried about. Just run the fiber optic cable right to the building. And they said they could. And when we got here, even when we phoned them up and had it all ready for installation and everything was great and gravy, the installer comes out, walks the property and says, they lied. And he straight out lied. I was like, what do you mean? He's at least 2,400 feet off your property line. There's no way we're going to be able to run the fiber optic up this main road and up the hill and to your building. It's just not going to happen.
So, despite all the challenges, you and your brother are twins.
Right.
What was the supportive? I mean, you have a family as well. What were some of the supportive conversations that went on during this whole time to keep you focused on just getting through the whole thing? I mean, what were you talking about? What were you doing?
My brother and I, when it comes to our, let's say, emotional, mental sphere and our discussions, really during most of this, Doug and I talked. And we talked and talked and talked, and we put a plan together very quickly. And that's all we had to do. Remember, we had nothing else to do. Right? The fire
yes.
pretty much took care of all of that for us. So it allowed us great focus. Great focus.
And it was almost like going on a retreat where there are no distractions.
Right.
So you can rebuild.
And we did.
Rebuild your lives, rebuild your business, just rebuild everything. And then you had to, basically, you're living in a totally different community because you were in
an old bubble and now I'm in a new one.
Yeah, it was a quiet, quiet bubble in the forest. And now you're, in the muck of, everyday life that most people encounter and, traffic jams and everything else.
Well, the beauty is, it didn't matter where we were. Doug and I know what we're doing. We know this business inside and out, like the back of our hands. I could set this up tomorrow somewhere else. I mean, I actually, I built this thing from the day it was possible even to be built and followed the transition, all the building of it, every piece. And same with my brother. I mean, we could do it again from memory if we had to. That means everything, from all the software, all the coding, all the hardware and machinery and everything. And it's massive, massive. But we've done it enough times, we could do it again. And, so a lot of things don't worry us. In that respect, Doug, we actually feel pretty confident, pretty good about the future. So what? We lost a lot of things and a lot of money. Yeah, we did. painful as possible. In fact, the only word to describe it is exquisite. But, you know, once you get past that, I have to say, zenith, you can move beyond it. I mean, what, you know, and again, when it happens often enough, you know, tragically, this was the worst of the bump in the roads, because, you know, we didn't have quite as much sentimental stuff as we did this time. You know, we had it from all of our European family that gave it to us, that were, you know, a very interesting lineage throughout Europe, and all that memorabilia from the first Super 8 millimeter films that could ever be produced in private hands to, I don't know, a lot of jewelry and monies and paper monies and stamps and trinkets and, you know, dolls, custom dolls and little Fabergé egg and little, you know, all sorts of little things. You know, and we were kind of weird in the family. We were the twins. So they always, you know, wanted to give it to us for some reason. We were always, Doug and I were like, give it to the sisters. We had two half sisters, two half brothers. Give it to them. Give it to somebody else. We don't want it. That's Doug and I. Trust me. Again, we never thought like this up until this fire. Doug and I always wanted to be the ones to give. And receiving what we did this time was a shock for us. We're still going through that, by the way. It was just a blissful shock. But, gosh, I got to tell you, when it comes right down to it, the whole journey, and even up until now, has been a blessing in disguise. It really has. Doug and I look at each other right now. If you want to know what our mindset is right now, we look at each other and go, this was a blessing. We don't want to look at it as a curse. We want to look at it as the beginning of a new beginning, of the beginning of the next adventure. It's not a curse. It's the start of a wonderful new adventure. Again, I'm not in the old bubble. I'm in a new one now, so I'm going to try to get with the program. And my brother and I think a lot alike when it comes to that. So, you know, we're enjoying this journey a little bit, you know, because we have nothing better to do. We have nothing else to do. It's not like you can go wallow in it and have a pity party, because it's done. You lost it all. There's nothing left. I mean, what are you going to cry about? What's left? My mother was a wonderful Austrian, very tough love, but very loving, caring, hugging, intelligent woman. But she was of that mind, you know, if you can't cry over spilt milk.
Right. You can't live in the past. You have to go forward. And I think it's all a mindset. So do you think having had a heritage, sounds like you had a heritage where you were ingrained with that kind of mindset. Don't right. Look backwards, only move forwards.
Bingo. Right, you did.
And how, so you guys, as twins, I mean, you probably comforted each other. And, you know, I mean, sure, you know, sometimes.
It made it possible. I mean, you think one person, look, I doubt one person could put this together. It would be unlikely. Let's just say maybe feasible, but unlikely. You know, the two of us, you know, it works. We did it. And having each other around to be able to depend on and do their fair share and make it all happen is thinking in sync. That's a rare commodity, one that definitely bode well for us during this disaster, no doubt.
I would think that having that same mindset and having that compatibility in terms of where do we go from here, because, you know, if I were to discuss something like that with one of members of my family, I don't know that we could agree on going forward in one direction or
where
another.
Where don't we go?
So you were really in sync with each other in terms of, you know, because some people would have just given up and said, let's go get a job somewhere. Let's go, find a job in radio. Let's not, rebuild what we had before.
Oh,
let's not
no, we love what we did. This is the hardest but the funnest job I've ever had. So I couldn't imagine doing anything else. I love it way too much. Way too much. It would have been unnatural for me to do this again. No other thing would have ever came to mind.
Well, thank you, Don. We're going to go take a break now and hear a word from our sponsors, and then we're going to get your brother on, Doug, to tell us more about what happened after the fire and how you guys reconstructed your business and what your future plans are. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Former highly paid corporate insider and expert in scaling businesses for over three decades, Eileen Mindell is a serial entrepreneur, business consultant, renowned speaker, and author. Tune into The Balanced Millionaire on bbsradio.com weekly on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to learn the secrets to working fewer hours and achieving financial breakthroughs, increased revenue, and prosperity while maintaining personal and professional balance and harmony. You can also hear us on iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and Spotify. To schedule a private consultation about your business, call or text 760-450-6133 or visit InnerEdgeInternational.com, 760-450-6133, or visit InnerEdgeInternational.com.
We're back, everyone, from our break. We just heard from Don Newsom, who is one of the owners of bbsradio.com. Now I have his brother, Doug, who is the other owner of bbsradio.com, which is a station we're broadcasting on, to hear more about rebuilding a business after a disaster and the incredible journey that they've been through and what their future is going to be. So, Doug, can you pick up where Don left off and tell us more about the step-by-step things that happened after you left the fire and started planning for a future for BBS Radio? What steps did you take to rebuild so that our listeners can understand the whole process of rebuilding a business after going through such a horrendous experience that you went through?
Hi, Eileen. Hi, everybody.
Hi,
my gosh.
Doug.
You're hearing
Hi,
me
Doug.
Again. Is this Don? No, this is Doug.
Yes. Hi, Doug. Welcome to our show as a second guest. And please tell us a little bit more about the story behind how you built this radio station back to where it is now and what your future is going to be.
Oh, sure. Well, the first thing you got to do is be a believer in what it is you're doing. You have a mission, then that's going to take your focus. Rather than the worry, the focus is a mission. The mission is building BBS Radio. That's our goal. That's number one. That's why we do what we do. And if we're the best at what we do on the service end and treating our home, that's where we're going to be. And we were in five categories across not only this industry, four co-related industries, and we blew them all away in every category. And I'm telling you, that's a fact. Okay, and I have the data to prove it. I have the data. That takes a lot of, drive. So we're future. Where do we live? We either live in the present or the future. Don and I have never lived in the past per se. So if you live in the future and you always live there, our idea was just what do you do next? So it's the steps. It's the steps, and the steps are just more. And me, I've always been a person who wrote things down. So I'd have, this just occurred. Here's the 50 things I need to do now. You immediately start listing out what you got to do to get your life back on track. If you don't, you'll be lost. Okay? Right. So it'd be interesting because people, if they had plans written out, if I lost everything, what would I do? What would be the steps I'd need to take? Right. Well, yes. Imagine. And then write the answers to that down. That'll save you time, by the way. Donald and I, yes, we were too afraid. We should have grabbed at least something, our hard drives, our data, our identification papers, you know, some boxes of valuables, anything. Give me another minute. I want that minute back. Yes, I feel that really bugs me. But you move on instantly because nothing's there. It does free you up. You will be aware. You'll be aware of your feet. You can go anywhere now. You got nothing behind you. You can run anywhere. Go anywhere. It's all been taken away from you. The decision of whether to stay or not. The building. The love you cared of. The land. The animals. Oh, it's gone now. Immediately, you're going to. You know, you're either one of those people who cries about somebody forever. And eventually, you're not, or you're going to get over it instantly because you. And there's the reason why we feel get over it instantly because we believe in something more. I'm not going to somebody's passing. There's sadness in a way if they didn't want to accomplish something, but there's no sadness in that they're going to live somewhere in a bad world or they're dead forever. I don't believe that. I believe that you live on, and so does my brother. I'm not going to go into philosophy or into religion, but I believe you live on some level, either as one with everything or that understanding, we move forward quickly. Donald and I have always been like that. We've been through that tragedy. So we wrote things out, and we started to delegate. Oh, and because there's two of us, it's like, Donald, did you get this done? Hey, did you get this done? Oh, let's come together. We got to do this. And what else are you thinking about? What do I got to do? What do I got to do? When you have another person that's not just in your head, but on the outside of your world, validating that there's things that need to get done all the time. You can't run away from it. It's like you can't leave the classroom. Because there's two pestering each other saying these are the things that need to get accomplished. So it's like having a coach there as well, right? Or having your competitor always there, right there. Well, right, we have that dynamic in our business.
Holding each other accountable and positive right. thinking is what I'm hearing
right.
from you.
Right, right. And how do you get to positive? Well, you deal with everybody's a situation, of course, and you do as good a job as you can. You know, the kids, they're first. You take care of the family. You make sure that everybody isn't emotionally unstable and that they're okay. And then you really apply yourself towards business. And Don's got a very mature family. Lucky! Lucky! Most families wouldn't have been able to have their children go through something like this and not be impacted. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But they're well raised. And that allowed for this transition to be a lot easier. I got to give Melissa credit, too, because she's the biggest factor in this. What's the future going to bring? Only something better. Because when you go through something like this, you've got to become better on the other end. Whether, we only live because we're going to be a bigger, better spirit or more aware or more loving or whatever. But because of something more. So your spirit drives out for something more. And the more for BBS Radio is to come out of this better than we were. How long will that take? What are the steps to get there? That's what we're putting in our head. That's what we're doing weekly, daily. And we're going to meet our targets. And I think Don's about right. I think we're probably going to be within 2 months of being better than we were. And statistically, I have no idea. No idea. God, I have no idea. That one hurts me.
So what are some of the things that are in the pipeline coming up that we could see from you that is going to bring you to that higher level that, now that you've had this a plan starting from scratch, it seems like you're
get
your
T1
dreams...
line. Get two T1 lines, not one. More power.
Okay.
That's
okay.
A. B, yes. Once that's done, we're immediately
getting the secure and unsecure lines to iHeart so we can be on our heart and getting that going back to them and saying, hey, we didn't drop off the face of the planet. Here's the streaming capability, uninterrupted. Remember, we need the uninterrupted first, right?
Right.
So that would be maybe 2 weeks from that point. And then from about that point, we're getting back in touch with our government contractors saying, look, we're up and running again. You know, we've got the ID because Dahl and I have already went out for let's say it's coming, right? We had to go out there and get this. Now this documentation's coming towards us. That takes some time. That might happen in a month. And then we can secure up where we are with our computers and everything. And from there, we are maybe 2 weeks away from where we were. So with the paperwork and the T1 and all that, within 2 months, we'll be where we were. And then moving forward, it's going to be closing government contracts, getting companies that work with the government, companies that work with the government, but government organizations that are not political per se in nature, but maybe they are cultural or historical or in the education arena or whatever, and they want to publicize things or have advertisements built or advertise their dollars to bring awareness for, you know, these sorts of materials they may have already created. Well, we could be that source because the paperwork we've done and what we're capable of, my brother and I, beyond just this radio end, is literally amazing. I kid you not. And it's going to enable us to, I believe, get these contracts to make a value proposition and really bring dollars to the show hosts, meaning have advertisers really taking up advertising in their shows, whether the show host went out there to bring in advertisers or we did. You know, it's important to do, but most hosts won't do that. So I would like to solve that problem. Doug's goals. Find advertisers for all his show hosts so all of his show hosts are free on the network. Boy, that's a good one, isn't it?
That is. That would be wonderful.
It's a wonderful goal. This is what we want to strive for, what we do strive for, why we're so, you know, all the things that we provide our hosts with from A to Z, you couldn't get for triple the price we charge. And I could put it all together and I wouldn't be far off. So, and we want that. We want our hosts to, a host that have a strong message, we'd love them to be a part of our network and change the world. But a lot of these people, they don't have the capital to do this. You know, they need a little bit of help. That's the hardest thing to do. So that'd be a great goal to solve. The other is getting us out there further. So what would we be working on from that point forward? Getting syndicated across more platforms, more global platforms, radio networks and everything. Start to move in as fast as we can into featuring our products or our show pages in Google search, voice recognition that's now populating some of the dynamic search engines. Even really start focusing on applications that allow our hosts to get free apps through the rotation of information on our site through to this app that's really specific to the host. That's marketable. But it allows our hosts who don't even think about the phone arena to be able to have something to promote them on through a radio show that's very unique. It might even cause the host to promote that more than they would the show, which is interesting. But it'd be smart because 90% of their audience is coming by way of phone. So, you know, and how do you do that in an automated fashion? That would be something my mind would work on. Other things, and I've got a number of them, a dozen of them, but in order, those would be the most important things to move forward on. And third, finding new ways to generate revenue to the company would be really moving towards government contracts, even on the company side, and you know, that's what I hope is going to happen. Now, if it doesn't, then we might have to look to other things really to take up the slack, because what Donald and I do offer is so much, you couldn't do it unless you had other revenue things, you know, paying for these additional upgrades, let's say.
So, Doug, give me some examples of what you think, as far as your business, what you think your business is going to look like, let's say, in 10 more years from now.
Oh, gosh. I can hardly see beyond a year's time frame. It's almost as if I have so much stuff to do, it would take me that long to complete it. And then when I reach the top of the hill, I might look out. Right now, there's, you know, so many parts and pieces I want to get accomplished. I don't really look at, let's say, what could I sell this company for? Or should I bring in a partner with millions of dollars because I have this bigger vision? And that's going to be the case for about 6 months. I don't really like to, you know, 6 months. And then hopefully we're starting to bring in government contracts. And if the government contract work that we do is good enough and valued enough, we should be able to do more business in that regard than we do, you know, getting what PBS makes in a year. That would probably be a small contract.
Do you see yourself as far as going public or bringing on a lot more people into your company?
Yes, I'd like to be able to expand this into a much bigger understanding. BBS Radio, I'd love to see really play a part in media, and it does through radio, and it's really taking that understanding and growing it. Now, can radio grow? Sure. You know, internet radio can be in all the platforms, you know, whether they're wireless or, let's say, you know, cars, you're making deals with car companies or whatever you need to do to get your platform out there wider and further, especially in the, you know, a lot of the media companies today, they're aggressive in trying to find content through the internet because that content comes at such a low dollar price, right? And they have so much to choose from. But original content is really where it's at. And everybody's going to find this out, even Twitter and the Facebook and all these people. And they are, by the way. That's why they're getting into news. They want you now where you can't push your information through automated, you know, you got to publish it first on their website. They won't take code that allows you to publish, you know, like a blog numerous times, and they're one of them. You're going to find that's all going to change. All this automatic posting to social sites isn't going to fly, because original media is more important. It is. When whoever puts out the words first gets the highest standing, let's put it that way, and then the repetition of words and other factors. But you really want to be the bringer of original content. Right now, the people that are making all the money and getting their heyday are the people that are coming together like a TV guide of TV shows. Well, yeah, they became great because they were the place where everybody eyeballed all the TV shows. Well, on the internet and in radio, it's become podcast portals, right?
Yes.
They're the player. They've literally come in and said, give us all your information for free. Like, oh, and now we'll charge you $5 a month, but we'll give you free feeds. Well, you've just given them your content. They now can advertise through it. Now they're having a sharing advertising structure, but they're just one big on-demand library. Brilliant, by the way.
Brilliant. Yes, it is.
I wouldn't have done it because I didn't, you know, that wasn't our intention. Could we even do it now? Sure. We have the capability to do something like that. In fact, my brother and I, our system is built like that, and that's just 5% of what they offer. What we would offer you just as a host would be so much vaster, but, you know, not all the hosts use it. But really and truly, they just harbor your information and build your feeds around it and say, oh, you've got your presence here. Now go out and syndicate your feed, and if I give you statistics too, it's 100 a month. they haven't taped your show. They haven't edited your show. They haven't got your guests. You have no plot. I'm just talking. That's what they do for that, right? Now, some of them will charge as little as 5 or 10 or 15, but it's all a money game now in the podcast centrals. And, you know, they're not the source of the original content. So you have all these people that are creating this original content, giving up their content basically freely for very little dollars. And there's so much of it, it's become, you know, a free-for-all, really. How do you compete in that? Well, you got to create quality content, right?
Right.
And you've got to syndicate it well. So you got to create quality content. You got to syndicate it. What's quality content? What the people in the world want to see? Or is it educational matter? Now, in our category, we may not be as big a news because it's, you know, dealing with more empowering news. It's not, how do I stir you up so you get mad so you come back the next day and find the solution? Or hear the ongoing saga, I better rally up, slap. Come on back tomorrow and see how that affected the rest of the world when I just slapped you and the ongoing saga. That's news today. And I don't like it. But that sensationalism drives eyeballs and brings in dollars and all that crap. It saves these flailing fake media today that everybody's been brainwashed on. I'd love to see alternative media win the day. I'd love to see people have control more over what they read and what they see. I'm afraid that, you know, people will be pigeonholed with what they can read and what they see and how they learn more and more and more as we move into the future. That's a fear. But at least we're going to do as much as we can to empower people with as much information, because really it's knowledge. Knowledge, look, knowledge, forget the judgment of it, you know, the opinions that other people have, but, you know, in the end, but it's knowledge. It's just that. You get to decide what to do with it. And as much as we can present you in the right way would be more beneficial to the world, we'll probably be more inclined to do.
Well, what I was thinking, Doug, was what about having some kind of rating system for rating?
Don't want to judge that way.
The quality.
We only have – we can't – see, this is the hard part. And we got to put – and you're right. We got to think about this. But, you know, there's got to be a way where you don't get to be the judge, and judgment really isn't a part of it on some level. There are standards, and we have them, by the way. We're like the only company with 10, 12 pages of standards and policies and procedures, and it's all listed on the website, by the way. You can really read all these. You can read how we expect our list to treat our listeners, how we expect we treat you, our hosts, everybody. It's all there. With a level of kindness, we don't want people to hate on other hosts. You might have hate, but we don't want you to preach hate, you know what I mean? Or racism or certain things. But overall, we're not going to, you know, hate upon a belief system, a religion, a cultural understanding, a political persuasion. I don't want to be the judge there. I just want to know, you know, do you believe it? And if you have conviction in that, you know, and if you're good at, you know, bringing the world to that understanding, I don't want to judge that understanding. Bear this in mind. The media's gone whack because you have people that own the media that have a bias. Well, what
yes.
if you have an actual person who owns a media company that isn't biased? Well, that's what you have in my brother and I. That's what you actually have in my brother and I. Imagine that. And you might say, oh, that takes no soul, or you can't stand on the fence, or you don't know right from wrong, or whatever you want to say. That's great. I might be just like a computer. All I gain is all this knowledge, but it's not that way. It's a lot of feeling and understanding that goes into something like that. It's the belief system that everybody from every walk of life might be slightly different than my point of view or my opinion, and can see it rightly with the same conviction I do. Even if it's on the polar end of the spectrum, I can appreciate those differences. I can appreciate the 360 degrees of arguments, not just another argument. My mind and my brother's mind are open on those levels. And that's a good thing, you know.
Do you think there'll ever be a competition you'll have to choose between one type of show or another show?
Oh, yes.
Or
I fully expect so many of these questions to be posed into the future as we continue to grow. I believe in what we believe, and I think I'm not worried. I'd like to believe I could make the right decision. Now, there may be instances where I don't, but I can't remember too many where I didn't do them based on my belief that they were the right thing to do.
Well, that's, you know, honorable that you're coming from, you know, what's the right thing to do, and the fact that you are trying, I mean, you're being as unbiased as possible, because media, like you said, I turn on, you know, TV and the commentary, the news, the night shows, it's one way or the other. Like you said, it's biased towards one political philosophy or different philosophy and way of thinking. And you start to believe that that's real, that's reality. You don't get a chance to really hear the other side if you stay tuned to that all the time. You just start believing that's the truth. So being unbiased, you want to bring the truth to the public, is my thought. Is that the way you're thinking about it?
Eileen, I want to say this. I'm grateful for being on your show. I would answer that. You know, I've got to start doing my movements really as quick as I can. But I love you, Eileen. You're doing wonderful things. I feel blessed to have been on your show. Thank you so much for giving me this time. I'm going to let you go and say bye, everyone.
Okay, well, thank you so much for taking some time out. I know you're really busy. We're looking forward to the next 6 months and thereafter. I mean, there's some big things coming, you know, your way that you're involved with, and I wish you good luck, you and Don. And I also am proud of you, and I hope the audience feels inspired that you can do it even in the face of something so traumatic. You can survive that. You can not only survive, but you can be something even better. You just have to have the right mindset. Don't let it hold you back to the past. Move forward. Think about the future, and that coming from the thoughts of it's a blessing. It's a blessing in disguise. So thank you very much for bringing that to our audience today. So I hope everyone enjoyed the show, and we are going to be back in a couple more weeks. We're doing a bi-weekly show here, and I am the Balanced Millionaire. You can find me at www.thebalancedmillionaire.com for myself and my consulting team. If you're interested in visiting our site or getting in touch with me, you can call our office at 442-224-0160 and have a free consultation. So thank you very much for listening to tonight's show.
Thank you for tuning into The Balanced Millionaire with your host, Eileen Mendel, CEO of Inner Edge International, business consultant, multimedia marketing expert, renowned speaker and author. Connect with Eileen Mendel, The Balanced Millionaire. Increase your confidence, creativity, balance, awareness, direction, motivation, and catapult your business to the next level and beyond.